Told Jolene this morning, I said, I'm a little concerned this morning that you are going to feel like I am really insensitive to the reality, the pain and the suffering that comes with death and with the loss of someone we love. And she said, well, why don't you just start out and just simply tell them that? And I said, okay, well, I think I'll take her advice. And I'll just start out and say, I am not at all trying to be insensitive this morning. I'm very sensitive to the loss that we feel, that the family is feeling today. But this morning I want to talk just bluntly and plainly about death and what it means for the believer. And what God's Word says about it. And as I process this, you can put the first PowerPoint slide up, that really death is the reason we do church. Life is preparation for eternity. And we've talked about it here many times, about this long timeline of life. And if you, from the beginning of creation, the beginning of time, there is a definitive time of when this world began. But God has said that there is no ending time. That eternity goes on forever and ever. And if you put that in a timeline, our time here on this earth is just a very short speck or dot in the timeline of eternity. But it is during that time, during that speck of on the timeline, that prepares us for eternity. The reason we do church is that we are accountable to God for what happens, what we do with our life during that time, that short time that we are alive here on earth. But right along with that accountability is that incredible grace and forgiveness that is offered through Jesus Christ. That we don't live that timeline under the burden of the law, but we can live it with freedom and with confidence because of what Jesus did on the cross. Amen, church. And I've said it this way before, I've explained it here multiple times, but death is a gift from God. And let me explain that just really quickly and clearly as the best that I can. And that is this way, that God created man perfect. In the garden, in the beginning, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, rather, God created man, and man was perfect, and man had a perfect relationship with God. We were designed to have that perfect relationship with God, but it was sin that separated us from God, and one of the punishments of sin was death. Death. The blessing of that punishment was that if God had not declared death as a punishment for sin, we would have been able to live forever, eternally separated from God. But God did not want that. God wants us to live through eternity in total, complete perfection, unity with Him, and a perfect fellowship with Him. And so that is why God said there must be death. I don't know about you, but that when you think about death through those eyes, I say, thank you, God. That's why I say I don't want to be insensitive to the pain. Death is separation. There's pain that comes with that. And that pain is a part of the punishment of sin. But in that pain, surrounding that pain, it is encompassed with an incredible promise that comes with us knowing what eternity has for us with God. He has made this gift of eternity with God freely available to all who believe. And it's a decision that each of us need to make. For many, that decision is way too easy. For many, that decision says, no, I can't do that because there must be something I must do to earn that. Within every bone of our body, you know, we're saying, wait a minute now, I gotta do something so that I gotta fix this in my life so that I can be, so that God will accept me. No, that's not what God said. God said, I loved you while you were still a sinner, and I'm offering Jesus to you. You accept my son and live for me, and I will give you eternal life. We do not grieve as one without hope. It's an incredible gift. I'm going to skip that next verse there, Nate. I want to just look a little bit at the theology of the resurrection. And you must understand this morning, don't pick apart my use of the word theology here. I think after I put it together, I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm right in that word, but just sort of look over this and understand what I'm trying to say. Can you do that to me for me this morning? All right, understand what I'm trying to say. The resurrection. Because of the resurrection, death is defeated, and Jesus has been given authority over Satan because of Jesus' resurrection. And it was Jesus who overcame death. Jesus went to the grave after the cross. They placed him in the grave, and God raised him from the dead. It was the power of the Father, the power of the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 6:9, just look at this verse. It says, we know that death no longer has any power over Christ. He died and was raised to life, never again to die. So in Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, he overcame death. Never again will Jesus die. It's done. His power, the power of God on his son, defeated death. We're going to listen to a song here. I'm going to play it on YouTube. Thank goodness for technology. It's a song that came to my mind as I was with the family and Willie in the hospital at the beginning of the week. And the title of the song is Overcome. And I just want you to listen to the words and let the words speak to your heart this morning. And think about it this way, that Jesus overcame death. Let's listen. You grateful for his power that overcame? Amen. Let's give the Lord just a round of applause. You see, we must understand that the resurrection, yes, Jesus did overcome death, but that also through the resurrection, Jesus overcame the authority that Satan had on man. There is a power that is available to those who believe in Jesus to defeat the enemy, and that is due to the resurrection. And I could spend quite a bit of time going through Paul's writing to the churches, where he talks about that we have the ability to put aside our sin tendencies, our sin nature, because of the power that's available to us through the resurrection. In Luke 10, there's a story that Jesus, when Jesus was here on this earth, and he sent out 72 disciples to go out and do his work. And they came back to Jesus, and they were all excited about what they had been able to do in the name of Jesus, the great miracles and the works that they had done. And they said, even the demons submitted to them in the name of Jesus. And they came back, and let's look at these verses where what Jesus responds. And Jesus told them, he said, listen, guys. He said, I was there when Satan fell from heaven. I was there when Satan was kicked out of heaven. I have given you the power to trample on snakes and scorpions and to defeat the power of your enemy, Satan. Nothing can harm you. He's saying, I'm the one who gave you this power. And he says, but don't be happy because evil spirits obey you. Be happy. Why? Why? Let me hear it. Why? Your name is written in heaven. Thank you, Jan, and the rest of you. Yeah, amen. Because, listen, we may say, wow, wouldn't it be great? In fact, I will tell you personally, I told Jesse Tuesday morning, he and I were back with Willie, and we were realizing that Willie's time was short. And I looked at Jesse, and I said, Jesse, I said, wouldn't it be awesome to be back in the days of Paul or the early church? And he says, I would love to be able to just lay my hands on Willie and say, death, you have no power over this man, and restore life to him. That would have been awesome. And many of us were praying. I was praying. I received a text from a brother that said, go back, lay hands on him and pray. And I did. Jesus said, you know what, if you'd prayed and Willie would have, life would have been restored, he said, that would have been something to shout about, but it ain't nothing compared to your name being written in heaven. I don't know if you grasp what Jesus, how Jesus is prioritizing things. What he's saying is, what we experience on this earth is nothing compared to eternity with Jesus. And let's keep our eyes looking forward. Let's keep our eyes pointing to eternity. As I watched this song by Jeremy Camp multiple times this week on YouTube, I found myself skimming through the comments and the feedback. Now, to those of you who are older than me, you may be saying, I don't understand what you're saying, so let me explain. On the computer, if you're watching this song on YouTube, you can enter a comment about the song, about the YouTube video. And there are hundreds, sometimes thousands of comments that are logged there about these videos that are on YouTube. And oftentimes, one comment will be responded to by other people, and there's this discourse that happens as people are typing. And it's, I tell you what, comments on the internet are just dangerous because no one's accountable for what they write, right? You can do it anonymously. But anyhow, I found it interesting that as I read these comments, there were those who were saying, well, you believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and we'll all be okay. Now listen, in a sense, they're right. Huh? Yeah, in a sense, they're right. That we love people even though they don't agree with what we believe. So we don't allow our different beliefs to create a love-hate relationship. We love people. That's what Jesus did. But there is a wrong understanding of truth. And Jesus talked about it, Paul talked about it in the New Testament, about people who think they believe what is right, but they have a wrong understanding of truth. So when we talk about the resurrection and what Jesus came to do, we need to have a clear understanding of this truth. Because when we stand before God, we can't say, God, I didn't understand. We can't say that. It is imperative. Do you like that word? Do you know what the word imperative means? I remember learning that word as a really young boy and liking to use it because it made me sound intelligent. Sorry. Imperative, it's a command. It's a command. It's a command statement. It is imperative that we as a church work to explain to others the great mystery of Jesus. And I believe the word is actually pronounced imperative, isn't it? Thank you. I saw some of you really laughing out there, and all of a sudden it hit me. So I am a little bit of, I add humor to your life this morning. That's just an added bonus. Imperative. I was intense about that, okay? Come on now. So it was imperative that, it is imperative. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Thank you. That we need to explain the mystery of Jesus. That is what we do as a church. That is our call. That is our mission. We can't lose sight of that. This thing about Jesus' death and his resurrection and what he overcame, that is a mystery. And it's a mystery to many. And it is a mystery that even we grapple to coldly comprehend and understand. Ephesians 1, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says this way. He says, Christ also brought you the truth, which is the good news about how you can be saved. Notice I'm reading from the CEV, the Contemporary English Version. Why? Because it's in wording that is as simple as I could find in the translations. You put your faith in Christ and were given the promised Holy Spirit to show that you belong to God. And remember, without getting into it, that the Holy Spirit is given to those who believe in Jesus as a seal. It is the presence of God within us. Paul is re-emphasizing that. We're given the promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14, the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, also makes us sure that we will be given what God has stored up for his people. What's he talking about? Eternity. He's the gift. He's saying, listen, he's saying God has something for those who choose to follow Jesus, both here on this earth and in eternity. He has a power that is available. And he's saying the Holy Spirit is the mark. It is through the Holy Spirit that we will receive that gift, what has been promised. Then we will be set free, meaning that sin no longer has control over us. And for eternity, we will no longer battle living in a world filled with sin. And God will be honored and praised. Did you know that you were created for the purpose of honoring and glorifying God? There are many questions about the resurrection, about Jesus' resurrection. Paul said, listen, and the early apostles said, listen, we saw it, we know it happened. And they testified to it. But when we look ahead to the resurrection at the end of time, there are many questions about that resurrection. How will this work? When will it happen? And this is nothing new, because, you know, as we wrestle with it now, well, now you can go online and you can find all kind of opinions about how it's going to work. There are those who think they got it nailed. Let me tell you, if anybody says they got it all figured out, change the channel. I mean, don't believe them, because there's so much that we don't know. But we do know it's going to happen. That we have in the Word of God. But this is nothing new. The early church wrestled with these questions as well. And Paul addressed this in his letter to the Corinthian church. And we're going to end with this, because I want you to get it. I want you to leave here with this. Paul is explaining to the church how the resurrection will work. And he's doing this in the context that there were those in the church who were disputing the resurrection and saying, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Paul, first of all, called them out and said, no way, it is going to happen. And he justified it. And then there was a question of, well, when we're resurrected, what are we going to be like? You ever had that question? What's this new body going to be like when we are resurrected?
I hope it's better than this.
You hope it's better. Me too, JR. I'm in with you there. I hope it's better than this one. Yes, it is. It is. And Paul says this. Just listen to these verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. My friends, I want you to know that our bodies of flesh and blood, they will decay. This means that they cannot share in God's kingdom, which lasts forever. In other words, these bodies will do us no good for eternity. I will explain a mystery to you. And I love how he words this, because he says, listen, guys, I'm going to let you in on something that's a little better. I'm going to let you in on a secret here. I'm going to explain this to you. Not every one of us is going to die. But we will all be changed. And he's talking to Jesus believers here. Okay? We will all be changed. It will happen suddenly, quicker than a blink of an eye. At the sound of the last trumpet, the dead will be raised. We will all be changed so that we will never die again. That day is coming, church. That is a promise right here. Our dead and decaying bodies will be changed into bodies that won't die or decay. The bodies we now have are weak and can die, but they will be changed into bodies that are eternal. And then the scriptures will come true. Death has lost the battle. Death, let's say that together. Death has lost the battle. I haven't said this in a while, but if you're a Jesus follower, you're on the winning side. You're on the winning side. Now, church, Tuesday night, your leadership team was together. And we were sharing about our areas of ministry that we serve in. We were talking about asking the question of how our soul is. How are we doing? And we were praying for each other. And then we spent time praying together for Willie. And I'm going to give you a picture. I'm not trying to be sentimental or anything here. I'm just going to try to give you the picture of the spirit that was in that meeting. But we were around the little table back there in the office, too small for six, seven people. And We leaned in on that table, and we took our arms like this, and we linked arms around that table. And our prayers were along the line of, God, we don't know what you're doing here. We don't understand why we've lost some really good men. And Willie wasn't gone at that time. We cried out for the Lord to restore his body. But along with that prayer was a cry of saying, God, we join together to stand against the work of the enemy. And church, that is our call as Jesus followers. We're still here on this earth, but we are called to join together to stand against the work of the enemy who is out there to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And that involves both believers and unbelievers. Those who have decided to follow Jesus are continually hammered by the enemy, saying it's not worth it, throw in the towel, give up. Those who are following Jesus are continually bombarded with false teaching and doctrine because the enemy wants to destroy us. And we need to stand together. But church, there is also a reality that there are many people that don't understand the mystery of Jesus. And yes, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to draw them, but God has given Jesus' followers a purpose. So my call to us as a church this morning, as we have experienced these losses, is may it strengthen our resolve to stand against the enemy, and may it move us forward in the work of the Lord and say, we're going to make disciples of Jesus. We're going to be a disciple, and we're going to make disciples. We're going to go after it. I found this verse in Philemon. Philemon is a book we don't talk about very much, but it's Paul's letter to Philemon. And it says this, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Church, it's when we begin to recognize that we are called to share this mystery of Jesus, is that we will then fully understand what we have in Christ. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling with a dead Christian life, feeling like there's no life in it for you, I challenge you to take this verse to heart. Say, what would happen if I really begin to focus on telling others about this mystery of Jesus and the resurrection and the promise of eternity? Let's do that. And let's not forget, worship team, you can come up, and let's not forget that the enemy wants to take us down. If you're a Jesus follower, he wants to take you down. But Jesus has overcome, and we can claim the power that raised Jesus from the dead for us, and we can stand against the enemy. And now I have a tough decision, because I'm not sure what song we're going to end with tonight, or this morning. And I think, David, we're going to go back to Because He Lives. Okay. That song spoke to me. I think it's a good song to end with. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Now, here at Maranatha, we end our services by opening up the altar and allowing anyone to come and just talk to Jesus. And as we sing, I encourage you to listen to your heart. And if the Spirit was prompting you and saying, man, this really spoke to my heart, I encourage you to respond back to Jesus and just step out of your seat, come up and just talk to Jesus about what he spoke to you, about what the Spirit spoke to you this morning. We got to get out of our heads that only people with problems come and pray at the end of a church service. Actually, if we'd get that in our head, we'd all be up here, right? Amen? So we all got problems, right? But let's be honest with Jesus. I just want to give him glory this morning. I just really felt like he spoke through the worship time. He spoke to me this morning, and I hope he spoke to your heart. And let's just pray. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. Father, I pray that as we leave this place, that we will take what you have spoken to us and just give us the boldness, take away the fear of speaking life into other people's lives. Teach us how to explain the mystery of Jesus to others. And Father, today, tomorrow, may we as a church speak life into the Bontrager family. We just be a loving family and just encourage them with the words of Jesus, words that bring life into their lives. Just in silence here for a short period, just rest in Jesus. Just think about what he has promised us. Take a break from all the pressures of life right now and just rest in Jesus. For he has overcome. He has defeated the enemy. He has defeated death. Just take a deep breath and rest in Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit, which brings peace to our lives, which brings comfort. To you, Lord, be glory as we experience your presence. So, Father, we end by singing a song of proclamation. It's a song that says, because you live, Jesus, we can face tomorrow. So we want to end, Father, as a church, just standing together and proclaiming that. Proclaiming the power of the resurrection for our own lives. Thank you, Father. And the people said, amen.